chapter 7, from verse 3 to 20, if you may allow me to. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we'll die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall only die." Verse 5. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to the surprise no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of the great armies. So they say to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they rose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. Verse 8. And when the lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank, and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also, and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is the day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, "We went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there. Not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied and the tents intact." And the gatekeepers called out, and they told it to the king's household inside. Verse 12. So the king arose in the night and said to his servant, "Let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry, therefore they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city.'" Verse 13. And one of his servants answered and said, "Please, let several men take 5 of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all the multitude of Israel that are left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like all the multitude of Israel that are left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see." Therefore they took 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, "Go and see." 15. And they went after them to the Jordan, and indeed all the road was full of garments and weapons which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a sea of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 seas of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Verse 17. Now the king had appointed the officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled him in the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said. He spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 seas of barley of shekel and a sea of fine flour for a shekel shall be sold tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. Verse 19. Then that officer had answered the man of God and said, "Now look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could such a thing be?" And he had said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat it." And so it happened to him, for the people trampled in him at the gate and he died. Praise God. Bwana asifiwe. That's Swahili. I'll just always remember Bwana asifiwe means praise God. Bwana asifiwe. So it's great to be here and to share the word of God, to share the gospel of Christ, to share more about the kingdom, to share about what God is doing in our lives as believers of our followers of Christ. This story reminds me so much about some of the lepers that we have in our community. And I know we do have a lot of them in our community. You guys know any lepers in your community? Do you guys have anyone who is considered as a leper in our community? Bwana sifiwe. Praise God. We have so many lepers in our community. I come from a community that has so many lepers. I come from a place called Mathare, which is considered to be a trash place where it's less than 2 square miles and 500,000 people live there. Bwana sifiwe. Praise God. It's a community of lepers. It's a community of rejected. It's a community where you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You don't fit the bill. You're not what everyone else expects of you. Praise God. Bwana asifiwe. So these lepers, my history tells me that these lepers, the lepers are not allowed to stay together with other people, other normal people. So they were to stay outside. The Israelite camp, they had to be outside because they were not supposed to interact or mix with other people. As a leper, you had to walk raising your hands up and saying, I'm unclean. Do you guys know anybody who walks on this street, who walks raising their hands and saying they're unclean? Praise God. I don't know what our modern lepers today. Maybe we have people who have different kind of condition. Maybe AIDS. Can you ever imagine someone walking with their hands up and saying, I have AIDS. Don't come next to me. Praise God. That was a very hard situation to be in. I cannot imagine. Yes, I come from a place called Mathare, but I cannot imagine walking, raising my hands up and saying, I'm unclean. Please don't get in contact with me. But this was the lifestyle of these people. And there was a lot of challenges. There was starvation happening in Israel. So what did they have to do? They said, oh, we can't go back to the camp. Let's go to the enemy's camp. And if they accept us, that'll be okay. If they kill us, still that'll be okay. Praise God. Some years ago, before I became a preacher, maybe I was a preacher, I'm not sure. One kid who is in one of our programs lost his dad. And so, as the program leader, I went to the kid to bury his father. And then when we went there, the church that his father used to go to refused to bury him because he wasn't a consistent member to the church. Praise God. So they say they're not going to bury him. And I'm there, I'm like, what is going to happen? Are we just going to just sit and let this dead guy bury himself? So I say, do you have a Bible anywhere? We were able to get a Bible. And then I asked the crowd that was there, do you have anybody who's willing to come and assist me to do this ceremony of burial? Praise God. No one was willing to come and assist me to the burial. But there was this guy who was so much jovial. This guy was so happy. He was excited. He was saying so many amen. I was like, what is happening with this guy? He's saying he's willing to come and volunteer and help me read the Bible. I just found out minutes later he was drunk. Praise God. But he was able to read the Bible. We read the Bible and we were able to do the ceremony. And we buried my friend's dad. I mean, his goal so limited because this guy was so drunk that he could not hear the scripture that this guy was saying. Praise God. The lepers were kicked out. I literally say they were kicked out because they were not even allowed to be part of this. Then they go to this new place And they find there's so much great things happening there. There's food, there's treasure, and they're much more better than they used to be. If I was a leaper, I would have said, no, this, I'm not going to share this with anybody. That's what we do as human beings. It's going to be me. Maybe the four of us, we can just divide it and amongst ourselves, and that will be okay. Praise God. Isn't that what we do as human beings? I would have done the same. I would have said, no, this is just us. Forget the Israelis. Forget the other guys. Just us. And that was much more easier for them to do. But then they decide, they say, no, let's go back. Let's go back. But I want to just think about them entering this camp into one tent. Then seeing, wow, there's plenty of everything that they have ever desired or imagined. Picking something. Others putting it in their pocket and saying, wow, let me have as much as I could. I remember my first time coming to the U.S., I had this pastor from Colorado, and he invited me for lunch. I'm not saying we don't have food in Kenya. We do have food in Kenya. But you know, this was very funny because he took me to a place where there was ice cream. And I like chocolate ice cream. How many love chocolate ice cream? Praise God. Buona sefiwe. And so I went in. And I picked chocolate with one hand. But I thought it was going to finish, so I had to pick another one with my other hand. So I was holding two chocolates in my hand. Someone should have told me that chocolate is not going anywhere. Praise God. I want to think that the four lepers, when they entered those tents, and they were like, what is going to happen? Let's gather as much as we could. But then they realized at a point, let's go back and share the good news with our brothers on the other side. Praise God. And if the law was so important at this particular time, I always think these guys were supposed to be, they're not supposed to be intact with the so-called good people. They went back with the good news. They were supposed to cleanse themselves and wait until they're healed so that they can go show themselves to the priest. Did they wait for the 7 days or to be clean for that to happen? Praise God. The salvation of the Israelites at this particular time lied in the four lepers. Our salvation sometimes lies in the unlikely places that we've never thought of. I feel my salvation lies in Madare, where it's a neglected place, but I feel like that's where I see God. That's where I see God. Where do we see God? Do you see God in a more classical way where everything is okay? Everything is just is going well. Maybe God is just coming from a different kind of places that we've never expected. Praise God. Bwana asifiwe. I heard of a story of this guy, a great CEO who is coming from work, and then he stops at a traffic light. And then this guy, he is a very drunk guy, preaching or singing or saying whatever it was that this guy was able to hear. And he's talking about John 3:16. And he was amazed that why would this drunk guy do this? But then this CEO got saved and became one of the greatest preachers. Sometimes you don't need a pastor to come and lay hands on us so that we can believe. Sometimes God uses just anybody to pass the message. Praise God. Bwana asifiwe. The church could not bury this kid's father because he was not a faithful man in church. He was not giving his tithe in church. But we were able to do that. And there was a drunk man who was willing to read the passage. That could not stop God from making things happen. Praise God. Bwana asifiwe. I'm always just, when I read this story of the four lepers, it challenges the way I see God. How I see God. When I think, wow, this is how God is. And then it even made it worse. 2 weeks ago, probably less than 2 weeks ago, we were in Denver and we went to watch this movie called The Shark. Praise God. That even made it worse. The Trinity is being represented in a different way that I've never seen before. We have a God that we have painted, we have colored this God to look in a certain way. Maybe our salvation lies in the unlikely places that we have never even tried to venture into. Our salvation lies in places that are so unlikely. Maybe in people that we don't even like, who don't look like us, who don't speak like us, who don't do things the way we do. Maybe salvation lies there. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Yeah. Bwana asifiwe. Yeah. I'll finish with this story. This story of this guy who was waiting. You know, he had this vision from a prophet, and the prophet said that Jesus is going to come to visit you today at lunchtime. So go prepare, make this feast ready. So he goes on and cleans the house and makes everything okay. Praise God. And he's ready, you know, everything is clean, the house, the compound, everything is swept because Jesus is coming. That's what we do all the time. Bwana asifiwe. And so he cleans everything and he's waiting. It's around noon. He knows Jesus is going to be around at 1. Cleaning the place, you know, everything. The food is ready. You know, the chicken, the fish. You guys know the good food, yeah? Praise God. So he waits, he cleans everything, and he sets the table ready for Jesus to come. Like this, the table that is set before us. Then Jesus, you know, it's almost 5 minutes to 1. Jesus is not around. There's just another guy who's passing around and was like, can I just give me a glass of water? He said, no, Jesus is coming. In fact, you're supposed to go on the other side. I have to first deal with Jesus because Jesus is coming. Praise God. So he waited. 1, Jesus wasn't there. 2, he waited the whole day. Jesus didn't show up. The following day he went to the prophet and the prophet said, Jesus came and you kicked him out. He was there. He was the one asking for water. You were waiting for a Jesus in a suit or Jesus coming with chariots. Praise God. Let's be careful. Maybe our salvation lies in places that we really, really, really are unlikely to think of. Bwana asifiwe. Praise God. I was thinking that Pastor Lina, Reverend Lina, will allow me to preach for 2 hours, but then I realized, like, you guys only gave me very few minutes. So, may God bless you all, and I'll just welcome my wife, Jamie, to say a piece.
Table for 2. God, I'm hungry. I need some food. Maybe some water. I'm thirsty. I need juice. I dream of peanut butter and jelly for my belly, and a glass of cold milk to wash it down. I slice up a banana, but I really want a pan of bacon or steak to come around. But then I think about my current situation. God, I'm hungry. ain't got no quarter for my water out of food stamps, so I'm sort of contemplating drinking from the faucet. Lord, I'm thirsty. I'm crying. Tummy grumbles, I'm trying. So I hit the streets, fend to beg the fully fed and obese, but internally, their souls are starved and dying. And then I think about their current situation. God, they're hungry. Jesus, they need to know you. They're malnourished, starving in the land of the overweight, with an unquenched thirst for something deeper, a relationship so great beyond that which Gatorade could never satisfy. They thirst for knowledge of the truth in the land of wealthy lies and walking lost, never knowing that the cost was fully paid. Never knowing that the cost was fully paid. No, not with food stamps, not with cash, but with his blood forever lasting in a covenant. He says, here's my body, broken, beaten, split to pieces for you, and here's my blood spilled, the cup filled. I was killed for you. I took the heat. So come to the table, drink, eat, dinner has been served. God, I'm hungry. Bread of life, you're so true. Imagine never hungering or thirsting again. Living water, I'm thirsty for you. He took the heat, so come to the table, drink. Eat. Dinner has been served.